Hello and welcome to this time of reflection. During Lent and Easter, I read poems from the book by Janet Morley, The Heart's Time. That is a collection of poems that she has put together and comments on for the days during Lent and into Easter week. And the poem for today, Easter Tuesday, is called Food for Risen Bodies 2. By Michael Simmons Roberts. On that final night, his meal was formal. Lamb with bitter leaves of endive, chervil, bread with olive oil and jars of wine. Now on Tiberius's shores, he grills a carp and catfish breakfast on a charcoal fire. This is not hunger. This is resurrection. He eats because he can and wants to taste the scales, the moist flakes of the sea, to rub the salt into his wounds. The first verse speaks of the Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples on the night before he died. And it mentions some elements of that meal, including bread and wine, that remind us that it was during that meal that Jesus blessed and broke bread and blessed and shared wine with his disciples, saying to them that they should also share this food with one another, doing it in remembrance of him. The second verse speaks of the meal on the beach in John chapter 21, after the resurrection of Jesus, when the disciples have gone out to fish but don't catch anything, until Jesus himself comes and tells them where to put down the net. Then they recognize Jesus and they join him for breakfast on the beach with fish that they have caught and with other fish that he had already prepared for them. We see the risen Jesus enjoying his food, not necessarily because he's hungry, because he wants to fuel his body, but because he wants to taste, because he wants to feel those textures in his mouth. Because of the very physicality of his risen body, the salt that is on the fish rub into his wounds. He has gone through death, but the marks that he experienced during his dying have not been erased. They're part of his resurrection body. This is very important because we are all wounded and we all carry marks of our wounds on us. Some have been wounded by others, by words that they have said or actions that they did. Some have been rejected or hurt, or they've experienced neglect. Some have been wounded by losing people that they love, or by missing out on opportunities. We also bear wounds that are self-inflicted, wrong decisions that we have made, wrong paths that we have gone down, times when we have tried to take a shortcut and have ended up hurting ourselves and others. There are the wounds caused by looking for help and support in the wrong places, relying perhaps on alcohol or drugs, or turning to gambling to try to ease the pain that's inside us and finding that it causes worse harm. Or whatever else that life may have dealt us that has caused us harm and left its marks upon us. And we think that these marks, these wounds, make us unacceptable to God. We think that we've blown it, that we've had a chance, but we've missed it. God is not going to find us acceptable anymore because we are wounded, we are flawed. Yet Jesus is wounded. And just as his wounds help the disciples to see that it's really him, and that through those wounds they come and put their faith in him, in their risen Lord, and move to a different depth of relationship with him, so our wounds can be used for good, can be used to help people see what God is about. There is the story of the cracked pot. A master had two pots that he carried on a yoke down to the river, filled with water, and back again to the house. One pot was perfect and carried its full quota of water back to the house. But the other pot was cracked and it leaked as they came back home. And by the time they reached the house, there was only half the amount of water still in the pot. And one day this pot said to its master, "Get rid of me, master, for I am a useless pot. I do not do what I was made to do. I leak and you lose water. It's time to put me aside and to get a new pot that will give you the full amount of water as this other pot does." But its master said to the pot, "When we go down to the river tomorrow and I fill you with water and we come back, look around you and tell me what you see." And so they went as usual. And the master filled the pots with water, and back they came. And the pot looked around itself, but saw nothing out of the ordinary. And back at home, the master asked the pot, "Did you look around?" And the pot confirmed, yes, it had. "Did you see the flowers?" asked the master. "Yes, indeed," said the pot. "Those flowers," said the master, "only grow on your side of the path. You see, I know you leak. And so I planted seeds on that side of the path so that the water that leaks out of you can water the flowers and I can have something beautiful to look at on my way back from the river." So it is with us. We see the wound, the flaw, the crack. But through that crack, the light of God can show itself to others. Our deepest wounds, our greatest flaws, don't disqualify us from being used by God. Instead, he can put us somewhere where even our wounds can help another person. He doesn't look on us to judge us or reject us, but instead he looks on us with love and compassion to see how we can be used to help others because of the experiences that we carry. Go in peace. For God has placed you where he can use you. Offer him yourself as you are, and he will use you as you are to bring glory to him. God bless.